The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in 1 household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We're going to take a couple of weeks off from children's sermons. I see you, but we'll take a couple of weeks. I can't quite get up and down the best right now, so it'll come back, I promise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what's the good news from this morning's story? What's the good news? I come not to bring peace, but rather division. I come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Your families are going to be divided against one another. You know how to interpret what's going on with the weather around you, but not how to interpret the present time. Is there any good news? In this particular part, is there anything to offer? Well, it's Jesus, so there's always yes. There's always the gospel at work. He's always working on behalf of the unfolding kingdom, but I would hazard a guess, and from my own experience, that this particular part may not be good news for those who like to have things go their way, or for whom things naturally tend to go their way, for those with privilege, those with power, those who think they can call the shots, manipulate what's going on in the wider world or the immediate community around them. I have to say, with my own wrestling with this story as a person of privilege, there's no good news in this particular section for me. The peace, comfort, tranquility that I aspire to, the way things are, will be disrupted. It's difficult to preach this to modern audiences. There's a lot of background work that goes into what's going on behind the story, what's happening in Galilee, Capernaum at the time as Jesus makes his way toward Jerusalem, the economic upheavals, the political exchanges, just the changing culture of Jesus' time. And on the other side of the same coin, we see these divisions, these difficulties, this tension working out in our own day. Maybe not always on the case of the gospel, but certainly divisions in our civic life, in our political life, in the way things are supposed to work that just don't. We know what division looks like. And there's often a hedge or a pushback against bringing division into churches. Churches are places of peace and tranquility. We come to hear the good news, to be fed up, to be sent back out into the world. Our architecture and our art depict, for the most part, pretty tranquil scenes, Some of the more famous portraits of Jesus are like the one in the back corner, Jesus holding a baby lamb, a shepherd. We're used to that pastoral scene of Jesus. But the musician and theologian John Bell has a different take. In a lecture I heard a few years ago titled The Unsung, Unpreached Jesus, he took a very famous Christmas hymn and flipped it upside down for us. He said, "I never believed, O little town of Bethlehem," and I think we get the punctuation wrong. It's a familiar hymn, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." It rolls off the tongue, a nice, cool, wintry evening. But he says we punctuate that sentence wrong, and he offered a different interpretation. O little town of Bethlehem, period, how still we see thee, question mark, lie, exclamation point. He argues there was no way Bethlehem was calm in the midst of Jesus' birth. And knowing what we know about family and friends, and when we haven't seen each other in a while, how could it have been? Caesar Augustus, all the way over in Rome, had ordered the census of the entire population and sent people scurrying to their hometowns to be registered. And people are showing up in Bethlehem that haven't been there since they graduated high school. How do you think things were going in Bethlehem? All the houses and hotels are full, the bars and restaurants are packed. There's no way. It was quiet. There was quite a ruckus going on. And we know what that's like. Again, not quite the song that we've grown up singing, not quite the image we have of Jesus' birth, but after all, that's how the world works. Jesus is not always as serene and pastoral as he is holding a baby sheep. Remember, he walks into the temple the week he was executed and flips over tables, making a whip out of cords and drives out the money changers. His passion, his compassion, and his zeal for justice overflowing into an act that some see as negative. But it's all within the scope of who Jesus is. And this morning we get Jesus' anger, or maybe Jesus' compassion, boiling over. We're in the midst of the travel narrative from Capernaum, Galilee, his teaching, healing ministry on the long road to Jerusalem, and his confrontation with the Jewish leaders and Pilate. And in the midst of his teaching, he has moments of frustration, as any person would. And it seems in this moment, he's just overcome with that frustration. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I come to bring fire. I come to bring division, not peace. Families divided, households split in two. Perhaps this is a response to what Jesus sees going on after his teaching and healing, his circulation of resources in the wilderness, the disciples and the crowd's lack of response to what they are encountering. Jesus, whose first sermon had everything to do with liberation and release, is being met with a lukewarm response. Nobody's picking up on what Jesus is laying down. This business of release, of liberating those who were held captive, even after examples of Jesus elevating people from the brink of death, physically or socially, after restoring people on the margins to community, after showing what it means to eat at a diverse table, they're still not getting it. And Jesus also knows the cost of discipleship. He knows what this unfolding kingdom is going to do. Not everyone is going to agree with the equity and equality that Jesus is preaching. Not everyone is going to agree that liberation and release are a good thing. Herod probably doesn't. Pontius Pilate certainly doesn't. And the Jewish religious leaders caught in the middle sway back and forth. No, this word that Jesus brings, this kingdom that Jesus embodies, is divisive. It separates. And that separation even enters our own households, the tension breaking into our own relationships. The peace and stability that we so strive for on a daily basis, broken. Because of who Jesus is and what Jesus calls us to do. When I came across this a couple of years ago, in 2019, it was just the time that a new album had come out, self-titled The Highwaymen. I'm not talking about the Highwaymen of the 70s, Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson. I'm talking about a new supergroup that formed in 2018, The Highwaymen. Brandi Carlile, Maren Morris, Amanda Shires, Natalie Hemby, who took up the mantle of that supergroup in the 70s and reimagined it, even rewriting that famous song. And there's a verse in that song sung by one of their companions, Yola, who's a black country artist from London, believe it or not. And her verse goes like this. I was a freedom rider when we thought the South had won. Virginia in the spring of 61. I sat down on that greyhound that was bound for Mississippi. My mother asked me if that ride was worth my life. And when the shots rang out, I never heard a sound, but I am still around. And around and around and around. And that verse always catches me. If you haven't heard the song, go look it up, Highwaymen by The Highwaymen. A reinterpretation of that classic song from a female perspective. The stories, they say, still untold. But I thought about Yola naming a very specific moment in our own historical context, one that was indeed divisive, one that seems arcane maybe to us in 2022, one that seems of distant past, but one that still lurks in the shadows of current conversations. And I'm talking about desegregation, the freedom riders that came from the East Coast into the South, some of whom were killed on behalf of them living out equality and equity, some would say in the same vein of the unfolding kingdom of God, sitting in at lunch counters, demanding the desegregation of schools, demanding equality, and for this nation to live into what it wrote in 1776. Yet they were met with violence and death. And that's not that long ago. But people striving for equity, striving for equality, striving to be an equal part of society, wrestling with fundamental questions of human relationships. And I think about that verse and I lay it on top of what Jesus is talking about here in this division. The intention of the freedom riders was not to bring peace as we would understand it, but they're cranking the gears of tension. They come specifically to bring fire, to name division for the sake of calling it out, so that peace can come. Peace that may not be an absence of tension, but peace that has a seat for everybody at the table. And unfortunately, society still hasn't gotten it 50, 60, 70 years later. There are still people fighting with their lives for a place at the table. And we who follow Jesus are always called to be on the same side of those demanding equality. After all, we're all created equal in the eyes of God. We're all members of the body of Christ. God has already invited all of us to the table. So we who are people of God ought to fight for every seat to be open and for all to be welcome. Even the residual conversations from 60 years ago sneak into current conversations about schooling. Though you won't see it in political ads, you won't see it on the forefront of the conversations happening, but people are still fighting for segregation. They're still fighting for separate but equal. Make no mistake, that's what's going on behind the scenes, and there's tons of money being injected into that kind of divisiveness, all for the sake of the common good. Segregation is still an issue in 2022, believe it or not. And so our fight is still for equality. So yeah, there's no peaceful good news. There's no tranquil good news for us of privilege, particularly this morning in this story from Luke. It's more of a call to action. It's a revelatory kind of story, a revealing again of who Jesus is and where Jesus is calling us, and naming the hard truths about what that will do in the world. Bringing about the kingdom of God is our call, but it's not always going to be polite. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes being a disciple in this unfolding kingdom means standing up and shouting and demanding for equality and equity. Sometimes it takes a little bit of subversiveness, to quote Jesus from another part of Luke, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. The gospel is not black and white in its operation. There's a lot of gray area, which is where we Lutherans tend to fit in best. We can navigate the difficulties of this world, to name things for what they are, and to work on behalf of release, the very release that Jesus promises, the very release that resurrection assures us. And we're set free to do all of it. That in and of itself is the good news in operation underneath the story. That is the unfolding kingdom that can push difficult rhetoric like this to the forefront, that God has already liberated us, that God has already set us free and released us from the worst of ourselves to be the best of who God created us to be. Released us from the bondage and captivity of sin to the freedom of being a saint out in the world, a saint filled with ordinary life, an extraordinary vision for God's unfolding kingdom. That's the playing field that we are on. So learn to interpret the times, to take a critical look at what's going on around us, where Jesus ends his story. People who were weather smart in his own time, who understood the daily ebb and flow of life around the Sea of Galilee, to name rain when they saw it and understood the coming of the heat, we too must be clever and creative to see the signs around us, to question critically what we hear, to take on multiple perspectives, and to always have the freedom that God gives us as the impulse of our action. We've been given the tools to interpret. Now, how do we respond? How do we go out and embody the good news of the gospel in the world that is filled with tension, that is filled with division? Not to sugarcoat it and ignore it and stick our heads in the sand, but meet it head on, face to face, armed with the knowledge that we are free to engage on behalf of love, mercy, and forgiveness. Rise up, people of God, rise up. Live into your resurrectedness. Live into your freedom. and work on behalf of God's love and God's unfolding kingdom. Amen.